I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, if you would, please. Luke chapter 2, page 832 in your Red Pew Bibles. In a little bit, we are going to serve communion. And the way that we do it is a little bit different, okay? Why don't you pay attention? I'm going to ask everybody to come down the aisles here. So if you're over on this side, you'll go to the back and come down this aisle, all right? And you'll get the bread from me. And the way that we'll do it is I'm just not going to let you pick your own, but I will pick it for you, okay? And so just cup your hands, and I will give you the bread and drop it into your hands. A little better hygiene-wise, okay, this time of year. And so I've got hand sand down there, so we'll start things off in a good fashion. But anyhow, I wanted to explain that to you. I want you to think about for a minute, what is the one thing that has occurred in your life that has impacted you the most, would you say? Just want you to think about that. What has impacted you the most in your life? Some people are going to say the day I got married, right? Some people may say, oh, it was the birth of my child or our children. Some people could just say, it was when I sat under a teacher in high school or in college that just altered my way of thinking and my direction in life. Some people, it might be a job, right? You just got into a certain job and it just changed the way you live your life, changed your thinking. It's really impacted you. Some of you would say, it's Jesus Christ, because my life was a mess. I gave my life to Jesus, and boom, it just totally impacted me. And as we come out of the Christmas season here, and the story of Jesus' birth, I'm going to ask you to imagine with me, if you would. Back when I was a young lad, I remember this TV show, and this might be all wrong. So if it is, this is the way I remember it, so it is my truth, okay? There was this show called Romper Room. I don't know if other people knew Romper Room, but there was the person on there would just say, as they were beginning to read a story, they would say, put on your thinking caps. Put on your imagination caps, because I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to take you somewhere. And that's kind of what I want to do here this morning. And I want to look at the shepherds in the story of Jesus' birth, and just imagine the impact of seeing of the angels and then seeing the Christ child. I want to imagine the impact that it had on them. So we're going to pick it up in Luke chapter 2, start in verse 8, okay? And before we do that, let me pray. Father God, we thank you for this time of worship. We just spent some time blessing you and praising you, and now you want to bless us. So, Lord, we do pray that you would open up our eyes and that your Spirit would open up our hearts, that we might understand your word a little better. Lord, we ask that you would give us a holy imagination to perhaps perceive things the way Jesus did and the way that you want us to in our life right now. And, Lord, we pray that as we enter a new year that we would be changed. You are constantly challenging us. And so, Lord, show us that avenue of change for our life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, picking up in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Well, the shepherds had become the heroes of the neighborhood, I have to think. That they told this story, as we read, not just one time. I'd imagine they told this story over and over and over, and to the point that the people actually believed in what the shepherds had said, that something had really happened. But I'm curious at what happened next. Because the scripture says that the shepherds returned to the fields, but I can't imagine that life was ever the same again for these shepherds. You know? I mean, if it would have happened today, these shepherds, at least one of them, would have gotten a book deal. Right? They would have written about their experiences. There would have been interviews on Good Morning America and all that happening. Someone would have been doing a commercial for the local car dealership. Perhaps they would have even been on The Bachelor. Right? We could imagine that kind of stuff. Somebody would be out to make money off this encounter, this remarkable story that they had. But in the story in our scripture, they're probably just going back to being a shepherd. Because once you were a shepherd, that's all you knew. That was in your family. But I have to think, how were they different? I have to imagine they were different. What were they like the next year? Were they different 10 years later, 30 years later? I want to believe that it made a lasting impact on their life. One of my best experiences this past year in 2023 is I was able to have a reunion with some of my closest high school friends. About 6 or 7 of us got together. We hadn't been together in 40 years. It was incredible. And so we spent a couple nights together telling stories, looking through the yearbook, laughing. Oh, remember when? Oh, yes, this was so great, teacher so-and-so, just telling all those stories. And I wonder if the shepherds did the same thing. Did they have a shepherd reunion every year? Let's come back to this spot right here. Right? Last year, this is when it happened. Do you remember? They're recalling this amazing event and recounting. Yes, I was standing right by this oak right here. And those angels were like, from here to here is amazing. Perhaps they even built a monument. They piled a bunch of rocks because it happened right here. And I can imagine that as visitors came to town, the shepherds would just say, hey, come here. I want to show you something. I want to take you to where it all happened, right? And they would take their grandchildren there. I think it just had to happen like that. And so I think one of the things that the shepherds do is this. They look back. They look back. They remember and they praise God. They remember and they praise. That's one of the things I think that will keep their faith fresh, is to constantly have this attitude of gratitude, right? They're continually looking back to remember what God did. Remember when God did this. Remember what God did. Psalm 103, the psalmist writes this: "Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits." He said, remember all the blessings. "Who forgives all your sins." He starts to mention something. "Forgive all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfy your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." I can imagine them just they would know those verses. They would know. They would have their Bible. They would know that. They've heard that in church before. But then, you know, it's not like even though you encountered Jesus, you saw the angels, they would still have problems. They still had family members that were going to get sick, loved ones that were going to die. They had difficult times when they were just going to go, what's up? And I still think they look back to this amazing moment, just like the psalmist did in Psalm 77. Here's what the psalmist, and this is interesting how this starts out in Psalm 77:10. And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. We've kind of been there, right? And we just said, God, what did I do? Right? This is like, this life stinks. This is what he's saying. Okay? So let's kind of, you know, verse 11 then says, but, this is one of the big buts in the Bible. All right? But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Oh God, your ways are holy. They're always remembering. And that's why the Apostle Paul will tell us as he writes to the churches, he will write to them. One of the things he says is, always be thankful. Always be thankful. Live in a state of gratitude where you are constantly looking back and thanking God for the blessings in your life. Second thing I think that the shepherds do that changes them is that they look in. They look inward. They discover who they really are. Now before, they would ask him, who are you? Well, I'm just a shepherd up in the hills. Oh, they would have been a lowly shepherd. They would see themselves as a lowly shepherd. Everybody would look at them as a lowly shepherd. Because if you were a shepherd, you were on the low end of the totem pole. The lowest strata of society. And the reason why is because you lived with the animals. And you stunk. You didn't smell good, right? And not only that, you couldn't go to church every week because you had to watch the animals. And if you couldn't go to church every week, well, you're not just spiritual enough. And so people would have looked down on the shepherds, not just because they were, you know, in a social way, but in a spiritual way. So people looked down on them. But the first ones to receive the good news about the Messiah being born, it's the shepherds. It's like God is letting them know, hey, you're important in my eyes. You are significant to me. You are my children, right? And I think that would have changed them. This experience of that night, of that day, that would change them because they have an entirely new sense of self. They are now important in the kingdom of God. And when you feel like you are important and worthy in the kingdom of God, now you live life with a confidence and a boldness as you go out into the world. You live differently because of that. When we discover who we really are in Jesus Christ, it changes us. And we begin to view ourselves as children of God. And that God is pleased with us. God loves you. God cares about you. God wants to hang out with you right now because of who you are, just because of who you are. And Jesus, when we come to Jesus, all of a sudden we become representatives of King Jesus. He has given us that authority to represent him out in the world. And so we can live in confidence and boldness as we go out into the world. We can tell other people about Jesus. We can live a following Jesus sort of life, and we don't have to be ashamed about it. People make fun of us. We can kind of say, I know who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a representative of the King. That's what really matters. And that the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans said this, and this is from the version, the Message. He said this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life, he writes. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we're going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. And so when you realize that you are a child of God, it changes you. It just changes you. And you start to live differently. Because here's the difference. Instead of trying to live your life to please God, which is what a lot of Christians do, I have to live my life to please God. And if I don't live my life a certain way, God is not going to be pleased with me. God's not going to be happy with me. God's going to be disappointed and bad things are going to happen to me. And so I have to please God. I don't want to make God mad. And we're trying to earn God's goodness. And it's the other way around. God says right now, if you follow me, you are my child. Can I get an amen from that? I mean, that is just wonderful news. Okay? Already, if you are a follower of Jesus, Jesus said, guess what? You don't have to know a whole lot of Bible. You don't have to go to church every week. You should. You don't have to. Okay? But guess what Jesus said? I now give you the authority to go out into the world and represent me. That's what he said. Already. You don't have to get a degree from seminary or anything like that. He already gives us that authority. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And then because they saw themselves differently, because the shepherds saw themselves as being loved by God, they have a new purpose for living. And so they look out. They look out and they reflect God's love and care for the rest of the world. They have good news to share, not just that first day when they met the baby Jesus, but every day after that. Every day after that. Because now they don't just have a job. They say, what's your job? Well, I'm a shepherd. Now they have a vocation. And a vocation is different from a job because a vocation is a purpose for living. And their purpose for living is not to raise sheep. Their purpose for living is to tell other people about Jesus and to reflect God's love and care to the rest of the world. Remember, I used this example before. N.T. Wright talked about how we are created in the image of God. We are like angled mirrors, okay? We are like angled mirrors. We are to reflect God's love out into the world. That's our job. And then we give praise back up to God. That is our vocation. It doesn't matter what job you have a vocation to reflect God's love and care to the rest of the world. The Apostle Paul kind of explained it like this. People didn't get it. They, in the church in Corinth, people were complaining to Paul. They didn't think much of him. Even though he founded the church, as other churches began to pop up, they began to compare Paul to everybody else. And they say, Paul, he's just not a good speaker. They say, Paul, you look at him, he's a scrawny old guy. He's not much to talk about. And he's just not like those other philosophers and preachers that we know that have the great orators and stuff like that. And so Paul had to write him a letter and just say, listen, and here's what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, listen, we have this treasure in jars of clay. And what he meant is we have the treasure of Jesus living inside of us in our broken bodies that break down. And we all know what jars of clay, right? That's our bodies. To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed, may also be revealed in our body. All this is for your benefit, he says, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Paul's saying, listen, it's not about me, folks. It's not about me. I go through this suffering. I go through this persecution because it's about Jesus and it's about reaching more people for Jesus. And I think one of the things that kept the shepherds going year after year after year is that they had this new purpose for life of reflecting God's love and care for the rest of the world. And so as we moved into a new year, we hear this thing, let's make, you know, what are your New Year's resolutions going to be? Let's ditch the resolutions. Because we know New Year's resolutions, They don't work, right? They don't work. They're like they go in one year and out the other. I got to wake you up. I'm almost done. Okay? New Year's resolutions, they go in one year and out the other. Is that a little better? Okay. All right. So, instead of making resolutions, let's do this. Let's get closer to Jesus. So as we move into this new year, I've got a shepherd's motto for us. A shepherd's motto. Are you ready? More gratitude, new attitude, wider latitude. All right? More gratitude. We will be more grateful in this coming year and less complaining. Okay? We have a new attitude. Not the attitude of, oh, I'm going to get up in the morning and be joyful and happy. No, no. The attitude is you wake up remembering, I'm a child of God. He already loves me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to see me through. And so I'm going to boldly go out and represent him whatever I do. New attitude. And then a wider latitude, meaning life is going to be less about me and more about other people. Influencing other people to follow Jesus as well. And so as we come to the table, the Apostle Paul tells us to do this. He says, examine yourself. To examine yourself. And so I'm going to ask you during this time of communion, when you have the time of reflection, that you would just, whether you're seated or whether you're standing in line, I want you to be thinking and pondering about being more grateful. Okay? Think, these things are going to be up there. I want you to focus on that as we go through this time of communion. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for sending him to earth, showing us how to live, as we read about him in the scriptures. And we thank you that he went to the cross for us. Jesus' body was broken. He set us an example unto death. And his blood was shed to cover our sins. Lord, on the cross that day, sin was defeated, evil was defeated, death was defeated. We are so grateful. And so, Lord, move through us. Open up our eyes, open up our hearts, that we might be new people in 2024. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.